You know, the book of Deuteronomy is an amazing book. It's a book that is a part of our Bible. It's the end of the first part of our Bible. The first part of our Bible is called the what? Someone tell me, what's the name of the first five books of the Old Testament? The Pentateuch. It's the five books of Moses. We know it is the Pentateuch. It's the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy ends, it's the final book of the Pentateuch, and that's where we are on our Sunday evenings, the evenings that we take a moment to go through the Old Testament and learn the storyline of the Bible. The ushers have got a little handout they're going to give you. They've also, do you all have the little cards as well, little memory cards? And so they can make those around the auditorium. Let's go ahead and give me the PowerPoint if you could, and let's just step through the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. That's where we are. And you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4 as well. And let's just remind ourselves of the outlines we've learned thus far. We'll add Deuteronomy to our list of Old Testament books. The book of Genesis is the book of beginnings. The book of beginnings, the outline, four events and four people. They are creation, fall, flood, Babel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. The book of Exodus is the book of leaving Egypt, and the outline is exit, law, tabernacle. So Israel is now on the top of Mount Sinai. They spend a year there. They have built the tabernacle under the instruction of God. And then we come to the third book of the Old Testament, the book of Numbers. They're still there on Mount Sinai. And the book of Leviticus. We've got Leviticus too, don't we? Leviticus is the book of holiness. And so this is the book that records God's giving of the law. The outline for the book is very good, very good. Book of holiness, the way to God by sacrifice, the walk with God by sanctification. Now, that all happened on top of Mount Sinai, as does the beginning of the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers is the book of wandering. The book of wandering, as they wander from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land. The outline has ties together that transition geographically from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land. And so the outline is leaving Sinai, Sinai to Kadesh, Kadesh to Kadesh, Kadesh to the plains of Moab. Kadesh Barnea was the big obstacle. They got to Kadesh Barnea. They had committed some sins leading up to Kadesh Barnea that left them in a state of mind where they were not ready to follow and obey God. And so they doubted God's ability to take care of them. That doubt, that discouragement that pervaded them, their souls, caused them to miss the will of God. And that, in turn, resulted in 40 years of wandering in a big circle from Kadesh back to Kadesh 40 years later. And then they end up at the plains of Moab, ready to go into the Promised Land. So the Old Testament, from Genesis through Numbers, records for us the beginning of human history and the formation of the nation of Israel, and brings that nation to the edge of the Promised Land, where they're ready to inherit the land that God had promised to their forefathers. And that brings us to the book of Deuteronomy. Go ahead and skip ahead for me to the red slide, where we have the actual book of Numbers and Deuteronomy. Now, we've already done Numbers, so Deuteronomy we're adding this evening to our list of Old Testament books. The book of Deuteronomy is the book of obedience. And that's the key concept in the book of Deuteronomy. It's interesting, didn't plan it this way, but we have just observed the Lord's Supper. And in the Lord's Supper, God cautions church members of going to the Lord's Supper with a lack of closeness to God. If they've not obeyed God, then they were warned. You need to examine yourself. The book of Deuteronomy is the book of obedience. Israel's on the edge of the Promised Land. They're ready to go into the land God had promised, and they stop. They pause there, and they're in the plains of Moab, and God gives to them a book calling them to obedience. Those of of you who were in Israel this past summer, we stood in Jericho. I was talking to my brother. He just got back from Israel a couple of weeks ago with the group that he took. And while they were at the restaurant in Jericho, remember those of you who were there, the what they call it, Temptation Restaurant, and a real interesting name. What I'd never known, and in fact, my brother has been there. This, I think, was his fourth trip to Israel, fourth time he's taken a group to Israel. And he did not know until just a couple of weeks ago that there's a flat roof that is accessible on top of that restaurant. And somebody that he met there at a table told him, he says, you ought to go up the elevator and go out on the, you can look out over the plain of Moab. You can look down onto the Tel Jericho, the oldest city in the world. You can look across and see the Jordan River, and you can see up where Mount Nebo is, and you can see where Israel came down. And they were just on the other side of the Jordan River, and there Moses gave them the book of Deuteronomy and spoke to them about the importance of obedience in their lives. And my brother said they got up there on the roof and they did their teaching time there on the roof and went through some of the scriptures with regards to that geographic location and its importance in Bible history. And he said it was an amazing thing. He'd never been up there. And so I look forward to the next time I go, I'm going to make sure I go up the elevator and get out on the roof and get that vantage point of the plains of Moab, the Jordan River, and, of course, the place where Israel came across into the promised land. The outline for the book of Deuteronomy is fourfold, and it's a really tough one. The first point is, are you ready for this? Moses' first sermon. Now, the second one would be Moses' second sermon. And the third one would be Moses' third sermon. And the fourth one would be Moses'. Some of y'all didn't say fourth sermon, some of you. Moses' final charge and death. So the outline for the book of Deuteronomy, it's the book of obedience, has four parts to it. Moses preaches three sermons, then he gives a final charge as right before God takes him up on Mount Nebo and he dies and is buried on Mount Nebo. So let's say the book of Deuteronomy together. It's the book of obedience, and the outline is Moses' first sermon, Moses' second sermon, Moses' third sermon, Moses' final charge and death. Let me just introduce you just a couple of things real quickly here on the book before we close tonight. The book of Deuteronomy, the word Deuteronomy means second law giving. Second law giving. It's the repetition of the law. The law had been given in the book of Leviticus 40 years earlier. 40 years earlier, the book of Leviticus recorded the law. Deuteronomy is the second law giving, or it's the repetition of the law. So Moses gets a new generation that weren't adults when the first rendering of the law was given, the book of recorded in the book of Leviticus. And so now on the plains of Moab, Moses gathers the people together and he gives them the second law giving or repetition of the law so that a new generation would know what God requires and expects before they go into the land that God had promised to them. As I said earlier, this is the last book of the first division of the Old Testament. Genesis through Numbers had recorded man's history from creation to the formation of the nation at the edge of the promised land, ready to go in and take the land. And so Israel, the history of mankind up to that point has been given in Genesis through the book of Numbers. And now the book of Deuteronomy gives us what you see in your notes as a philosophical analysis or a spiritual significance of that history. Deuteronomy gives perspective to what God has done in forming a nation of people to represent him to a godless world. Israel in the Old Testament was to the world what churches in the New Testament are to our world. It was God's evangelistic tool to reach the world. And in order for God's evangelistic tool to be effective in representing God to a ungodly world, that people group must live in obedience to God. Because the power of God through Israel to evangelize the world is going to depend upon their obedience as the power of the Holy Spirit working through you and I to evangelize the unsaved around us is dependent upon our obedience, that the power of God might rest upon us and use us to be able to effectively distribute the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the book of Deuteronomy gives us perspective on history as it casts vision for the future. I ask you to go, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I wanted you to look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 kind of capsulizes that the book of Deuteronomy shouts, don't forget. Don't forget what God has done up to this point in history. Deuteronomy 4:9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Of course, that's talking about Mount Horeb. That's Mount Sinai. That's when Moses went up on the mount, God gave them the Ten Commandments and all the law, and God told Moses to call the people together. And God entered into a covenant relationship with the nation of Israel. And so the book of Deuteronomy is given as a reminder, to remind that new generation of people, remember, as you go into the promised land, don't forget what God has done. Over and over and over again in the book of Deuteronomy, God's man Moses told the people, don't forget your past. Don't forget. And teach your kids, lest a generation should arise. Do you remember when we get to the book of Judges? Judges opens up and says, a generation arose that knew not. And so Deuteronomy is God giving the significance of all that's happened to humanity to this point, telling the people not to forget. Now, I noted four specific things in the book of Deuteronomy. We won't read all the passages, but these are some of the key significant passages in the book of Deuteronomy. And the first one is love God. Love God. Deuteronomy 6 is what the Jewish people would recite every week. The Shema. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and all thy soul and all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. It all begins with our love for God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know, we have participated in the most dramatic picture God gave to us of how much He loves us. Do you know what God asks of us? He asks us to love Him the way He loved us. And so the book of Deuteronomy implores us, love the Lord thy God. Christianity is not a list of rules and regulations. That has turned a generation of young people away from Christianity because they saw hypocrisy. They saw Christianity reduced to a list of do's and don'ts. Act right, talk right, dress right, go to the right places, stay away from the wrong places, and you are a good Christian. And the emphasis on rules and regulations, particularly when those rules and regulations were given against the backdrop of hypocrisy, turned a generation away from God and Christianity. Christianity's never been a list of rules and regulations. That was a mistake. That was a wrong presentation of Christianity. Christianity has always been, always will be, a relationship built on love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength. Love God supremely, ultimately, completely, fully. Love God the same way He loved you, as is demonstrated in the observance of the Lord's Supper. And so one strong thing we learn from the book of Deuteronomy is that everything is based upon our love for God, the relationship forged by God in solving the problem of our sin, loving us, and our loving Him in return. The second thing in the book of Deuteronomy, there's a powerful lesson to be learned in the book of Deuteronomy, is the reality of blessings and cursings. Let me get you to turn to Deuteronomy 28. There's several passages listed here. Let me just show you the first one. Deuteronomy 28 and verse number 1. And you'll, if you take time to go through the other passages, the whole book really, but the other passages listed especially, you see over and over again the emphasis on these blessings and curses. In Deuteronomy 28, verse number 1, the Bible says, "It shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." The blessings. You'll find, verse 15 picks up, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all His commandments and statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall be upon thee and overtake thee. So in the book of Deuteronomy, over and over and over again, we have emphasized, if you obey, blessing. If you disobey, curse. That's a foundational message that runs throughout the book of Deuteronomy, as you can see by the particular passages going through chapter 30. And then the third thing, very significant about the book of Deuteronomy to be learned, is the Palestinian covenant in chapter 30. Chapter 30 records as Israel, as a nation, is getting ready to cross the Jordan River and go into the land that God had promised to their forefather Abraham and repeated it many times to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And now to a new generation, God promises the land, the geography, the dirt under their feet. God promised the land. The Palestinian covenant is not a conditional covenant. In other words, it's not conditioned upon whether or not the people obey. It's conditioned upon when they obey. God promised the land unconditionally to Abraham. The unconditional covenant of Abraham includes the geography, the real estate that the Israeli people to this day are in dilemma over with the with Arab nations around them and within them. And so the Palestinian covenant is a if-when, not a if-or kind of a covenant. You obey me, and that's when I'm going to give you the land. And you read and study the Palestinian covenant, you find the trigger is when they obey God. And that'll happen in the tribulation period, when by the end of the tribulation period, the judgments of God upon the nation of Israel, when the Antichrist tries to once and for all annihilate them and to destroy the nation of Israel, and Jesus Christ comes and rescues them at the last moment from annihilation, they, the ones that survive, the ones still alive, the Jews still alive at the end of the tribulation period, the Bible says all of them will believe in Jesus Christ when they see Him at His second coming. Their eyes will see Him. As He comes the second time, they will acknowledge that their forefathers made a horrible mistake crucifying Him, and they will repent, and they will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and they will, as an entire nation, every Jew will be saved, and that's when God will fulfill His kingdom promises to give them the land of Palestine. We call it the Palestinian covenant, and it's recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. One last thing in the book of Deuteronomy that's some of the more significant things would be Deuteronomy records the death of Moses. And so in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses went up from the plains of Moab to the mountain of Nebo. Those who were in Israel, we had the opportunity to go. I was so looking forward to get up on Mount Nebo and be able to look from Mount Nebo and look down into the plains of Moab and the Jordan River. And we got there at 10 o'clock at night, way after dark. Kind of hard to see much of anything up on a mountain at 10 o'clock at night and in the dark. But one thing we could see the lights of the city of Jericho. right across the river. And then they pointed out, if we looked up where the horizon was, of course it was dark, black sky, but if you look up to the horizon, you could see the glow of the lights of Jerusalem just across the Judean mountain ranges, there where the city of Jerusalem is perched atop the Judean mountains. Well, it was up on Mount Nebo that God took Moses. Moses from Mount Nebo looked down into the land of promise that God had promised them, and the city of Jericho, and then the land of promise. And God took him there to see that, and then God took his life. Verse number 5 says, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. That's pretty old to be 120 years old when you die. You think at 120 years, it's about time to die. I read just this last week, some woman in her 90s, way up in her 90s, said long life is a curse from God. I don't think she was having a good older age experience. To live long, to live beyond your physical ability to enjoy life and not be able to die is a difficult thing to handle. Moses was 120 years old when he died, but the Bible says in verse number 7, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. God wanted to make sure that we understood Moses died prematurely at 120. He did not die from old age. He did not die because he had become so old. He died prematurely because of his disobedience to God. The book of Deuteronomy is about obedience, the importance of obedience. And the book of Deuteronomy ends with the story of Moses' life being taken from him prematurely because of his disobedience to God in the wilderness wandering. So the book of Deuteronomy is the book of obedience. Great book to study when you're trying to teach your kids how to obey you. The blessings and the curses are really good portions of the book of Deuteronomy when you're trying to teach your kids to obey you. Obey mom and dad and you will be blessed. Disobey mom and dad and you get to meet what my daughter called Mr. Timeout. It was the spanking spoon, conveniently named to hide from open disclosure of its purpose. If in public the kids heard mom say, when you get home, you're getting timeout. And they knew what timeout was. And the book of Deuteronomy is a good book to teach the blessings and the cursings for obedience and disobedience. Amazing book in our Bible.